We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man,
tomorrow training camp starts and we will be there. Now, we've been telling a big special guest going to stop by tomorrow, and we're going to have guests every day on the show, so we invite you to make sure that you listen and see what's going on. But tomorrow, Mike, you know who's stopping by the show, right?
Now, are you proud of me? I kept a secret for 3 hours.
This is true.
Can I spill it?
You can.
Hey, guys, tomorrow after practice, and you'll hear the interview with us live from our show at Hooters, we're going to catch up after practice with Michael Penix Jr.
No doubt.
Have not talked to him in a minute, and looking forward to catching up with our starting QB.
Yeah, man. Look, it's funny because at the start of camp, I'm sure he'll feel a little bit different. At the end of camp, once the season starts and you get into the grind of the season. But I know he's super excited and happy, and we're going to get his take on a lot of different things that are going on with our football team. And what a better way to kick off camp for us here on Dukes and Bell. So, with that said, tomorrow, that is going to be one of the guests, and certainly one of the bigger things we'll be talking about after camp is done tomorrow. But make sure you tune in starting at 2 o'clock, as all of our shows will be up there. As we mentioned, Morning Shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy up at Flower Branch, and then we'll be at Mall of Georgia Hooters. Hey, as we'll get into the Falcons, a couple of things you may have missed today. One, Adam Schefter started the show today. Stop by talking about all the storylines and stuff that's going on around the NFL. You can go rewind on the app and make sure you subscribe to Dukes and Bell. You can hear Schefter talk about some of the stuff, and of course our comments and his comments about the Falcons as well. We'll play a couple of those for you coming up here in about 10 minutes. Also, we visited with Brent Key, Georgia Tech's head football coach, and Georgia Tech's quarterback, Haynes King. Now, again, you can always rewind, but Mike, thoroughly impressed with Haynes King, and look, he's just about it, man. He's all business. He knows there's an expectation, which is good, Tech fans. There's an expectation that you're going to be good. You didn't lose a home game last year. You've been to back-to-back bowl games. It's building, and the right momentum is taking over. So Brent Key came on and said, look, you know, we need to take a jump. We need to take a big jump. It's not just a little bit of a jump. We need to take a jump. We've been playing well. We're competitive. Now we got to take a jump. And I feel like they're going to be in the mix this year in the ACC. Now, are they as good as Clemson? Well, we're going to find out because Clemson comes, Mike, early in the season to Georgia Tech on the flats. We're going to find out. But I feel like Georgia Tech, Mike, is moving in the right direction. And it's been a while since we've been able to say that. The ups and downs of Paul Johnson, as good as he was, and I'm not taking anything away from Paul, but it was just that. One good year, 3 8-8 seasons or 8-8 wins, and then a bad year, and then a good year.
I mean, we
need to sustain it.
We said, you know, those the old jokes we used to make about how do you know you're in a Georgia Tech bowl game? You're stepping out of a dugout. You know what I mean? Or you're on the field is blue. You know, things like that. And that's what DeBrent is trying to combat. And look, last year, yeah, they went to the mattresses and they went, you know, 8 overtimes against Georgia. At the end of the day, still didn't get it done. But Brent knows what it's like to be on the winning side with Tech. And if you are a Georgia fan, the reason we're focused on Tech, it happened to be ACC Media Days. You heard from Kirby and you heard the players last week. This week, it was ACC's turn. But Haynes King, and I got to tell you, first time you and I have spoken to Haynes King, he's impressive.
Yeah.
And he's got that edge. And I call it a little Texas-sized chip on his shoulder. He knows what, you know, he needs to do. And he talked about, you know, knowing when to maybe take care of his body and make better decisions because he's got to be on the field if they're going to have a chance to do something special.
You said it too. You asked him, do you see yourself as a dual threat? He said, yes, sir.
Yep.
Because he can run it. He had 11 touchdowns on the ground last year, threw for 14 or so. But there are expectations. More with Tech coming up, and you'll hear from Brent Key and Haynes King. Meanwhile, Falcons reported today, Caden Ellis is one of the guys speaking to the media today, and he said, look, Jalen Walker, what do you guys want to know? Sky's the limit for the kid. I understand why they drafted him. I see the explosiveness. Bijan talking about his time spent out in L.A. with Christian McCaffrey and learning from arguably the best running back in the game outside of Saquon Barkley. And, you know, everybody wants to make that comparison, Mike. If you said, what is Bijan? Right? When we drafted him, the projection was, can he be McCaffrey? Can he do the things that McCaffrey's going to do? So I don't think it's a coincidence that he went out there and worked out with Christian McCaffrey in L.A., but he said he learned a lot, and they worked out for a full month together. He said one of the big things he learned was following you know, Christian McCaffrey in the recovery process. Christian's been through some injuries, and so he was like, look, this is how I'm handling my body now. Those things matter for Bijan. And then, of course, Chris Lindstrom talking about this expectation for the Falcons, saying, guys, that he, along with the team, understands that they have to go out and prove it to us, meaning the fan base, that there is – a responsibility to the fan base. And I thought that was a big comment from him today to perform for this city.
Right, and he gets it. You know, we talked about being at the mandatory minicamp back in the spring, and certainly the comments we got from A.J. Terrell, he's sick and tired of not being in the playoffs. Never been in the playoffs. We said earlier in the show, his biggest games might have been at Westlake or Clemson. So now it's time to change all that. And I love Chris Lindstrom, you know, going on record saying, hey, I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing with our rookies. Talking about, you know, and again, to me, I would imagine he's talking close quarters with some of the guys he's opposite the line from on the defensive side, and that's great news. Rook is a second-year player, but for intents and purposes, he is kind of a rookie. So Rook's got to be big, but we know what we expect from Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. And if, and in fact, Lindstrom's talking about the guys all the way back in the secondary, we've brought a bunch of potential ball hawks in here, you know, to really hopefully do the things which we haven't done in a while, create turnovers, pressure on the quarterback, the hallmarks of a good defense we haven't had for decades.
No doubt. We're going to let you hear a few of those comments coming up here within the next 10 minutes, so stay tuned. Mike, let's talk about players who need to earn their keep. Just real quick before we get to camp. We've talked a little bit about it this offseason, but maybe we haven't talked about it enough. Special teams matters. And Mike and I joke all the time, but Young Wei Koo, guys, coming off the year he had, Mike, he's got to earn his keep. He was 25 for 34 field goals. 73%. That's not good enough.
No, it cost you some games. You didn't have the confidence in him in the Charger game. He blew you the game in the Saints down in New Orleans. And it just at the end of the season, we had to go with again, anytime you're looking for a kicker in December, it's going to be a train wreck because the guy's going to be a bum. We had a guy that had no friggin' range, and that's why we had to – like, I'll disagree with the coach forever on how he managed the end of that Commanders game, but knowing that we had a guy you got to get within, like, 30 yards to maybe even have a shot at that kick. So, Young Wei Koo, they bring in a kid – was it Krieg, the young man from Germany? And we'll see if he can battle or – look, guys, it's nothing against Young Wei Koo, but look – the kicker's the last thing a team needs to be worried about. For a decade and more, Baltimore didn't have to worry about Justin Tucker. Now he's gone. You know, that's you don't worry about it until, like, how many years the Buccaneers went through the wilderness without a kicker?
It's so true. And look, we're not saying he doesn't deserve to be on the team or any of that.
He's got to earn it, but he's got to earn it back.
Earn the keep. You got to earn your keep. Braylon Trice, Mike, injured in camp last year. We went into camp last year, high expectations, thinking, all right, this guy's going to help our pass rush. We never got a chance to see it. Drafted in the third round of the 2024 draft. With what we've done since Braylon Trice got drafted last year, do you think he's got to earn his keep?
Well, Braylon, he's now looking – all these guys like him and Troy Anderson are looking up in the depth chart now. It depended on how – now, Jeff Albrecht's going to rotate guys. But linebacker, you're generally on the field. It's one thing if you're an edge rusher or a tackle, but a linebacker pretty much is going to be out there for three downs, right?
Yes.
So I don't know how we play – I don't know how that plays out. We had high hopes for him. We joked around about it. Remember, you and I were trying to convince D-Led that he was the dude. No, he's just a guy. Come on, D. The guy was solid. Defensive captain for Washington.
That's right.
No, I don't think he's got it. But anyway, now he's going to be looking up. He's going to be trying to get on the field and battle other guys that we are picked up to do the same job.
We're just talking about players maybe that need to earn their keep. We're getting to camp. Mike, what do you think about Clark Phillips? Size maybe has been the biggest concern, but they knew that when they drafted him. He was a playmaker in college, a ball hawk, very similar to what the guys we brought in here. But in 2024, 35 total tackles, 27 solo, 2 forced fumbles, and 1 pick for Clark Phillips.
Little engine that could. High hopes for him. Remember him battling, you know, with Drake London, because they were, you know, both. He was Utah and Drake, you know, back in his day in USC, and they had some good battles in practice. And one day, you know, Clark would win, one day Drake would win. But it seems like he's just the size issue is at the end of last season, against 2 years ago against the Saints. There was some tough games for our secondary, and I just don't know. I mean, he doesn't have the who is it? Brent Grimes had the he was undersized but had incredible hops.
He did,
and I don't know if he's that dude.
Yeah, it's Dukes and Bell 404-726-0929. Kentavious Street,
he's in the rotation, and they like him. You know, they could we have upgraded the position? They decided that he's going to be a guy. Now, he would be technically behind Onyemata and Rukuroro.
Yeah, he's going to get some run, but to your point, yes. More impactful, or is he just a rotational guy? Maybe they see him just as that. I don't know. But these are some of the names we'll be talking about, guys, when we say, hey, okay, what's going on with this particular player? Look, the kicking thing is big and cool.
Cool.
I'm going to be watching all these field goals, bro. We're going to be watching. I mean, it's practice, but it's not practice. Like, if he starts missing in practice, Mike, I'm going to have a concern, right? And we see them, they run enough special team stuff, and you guys will see some of it as well with the open practices. It's just a part of practice, right? And you just expect, like, okay, this is second hat. He's healthy. he's going to be able to knock down these field goals. I just want to make sure that going into the season, we feel really confident there. But these are some of the positions and some of the guys that are coming back, whether it be injury with Braylon Trice or just a position battle with Clark Phillips, because I think that that nickel situation is going to be very interesting.
Because technically on the depth chart, now that's it's you know, it's fluid, but Clark backs up Mike Hughes at the right corner position. But I can't wait to see, you know, how Xavier Watts and maybe Billy Bowman have a chance to impact as rookies in both the nickel and or the dime package, which you're in a lot of. I know we get hung up on 3-4-4-3, but, you know, for the most part, there's five DBs out there. But we've heard great things about Xavier Watts. You know, it was funny because we talked to Xavier Watts. He's like, I model my game after Jesse Bates. And Jesse's like, well, thank you.
Yeah.
So you got some similarities, but Watts was a turnover machine for Notre Dame.
He was he may be one of the most accomplished players we've drafted coming out of Notre Dame.
And he was a top 100 player. A lot of folks surprised he slipped out of the second round.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man, we've got a lot to get to here. Adam Schefter and his comments about the Falcons and more. Also, Brent Key and Haynes King. And we'll let you hear some of what Bijan and Chris Lindstrom had to say today as well. A reminder again, if you're out and about and you're up there at Falcons training camp, and you see us, or you see the broadcast area, guys, where the other shows will be broadcasting from, say hello. Stop in. We'd love to get a chance to see you. All the shows. I'm speaking for everybody here. Morning Shift, Stakey, Andy, Rennie, everybody, man. We'd love to just say, hey, appreciate you guys, because that's what it's all about. So if
and
you
I
see
just want
us,
people to know, there's a blue collar side to me.
And we know. And just stop and say, hey, man, I listen to you guys, because none of these guys bite. We all are friendly, and I know that we don't get a chance to see you as much as we'd like out in the streets. But if that happens over the next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we're up there, please say hello.
Now, Randy, maybe not as friendly as the other guys, but okay, yeah, most of the people.
Don't do that.
Now, talk to Randy about his days at Georgia. He loves talking about that. No, Randy and Andy will be there. And then, again, they'll be doing the show live right there on site. And then we'll be at Hooters, as Carl mentioned, Mall of Georgia. A couple guys hit us up on the text line saying that, maybe Pitts is loose. Maybe Pitts feels there's nowhere to go but up. So he's going to come in with a little bit of swagger. We talked about his entrance video where he kind of mugged for the camera, did kind of a exaggerated slow step as he walked in, which was kind of cool. And as we said, we all root for these guys. You know, it's not like we, as you just mentioned, we're not rooting against Young Wei Koo, but you cost us games. And Kyle Pitts, a fourth overall pick, fair or unfair, wherever you fall on this, you've got to have more production than he has over the first 4 years of his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, the irony is, if he balls out this year, there might not be enough money for him and everybody else. Maybe they'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but it's a nice problem to have. If Pitts gets integrated into this offense to where he is an 800 to 900 yard guy and he's got 10 touchdowns, because that to me is the benchmark for all the tight ends that are ahead of him. Doesn't have to be 1,000 yards. It's got to be winning me football games.
That's the truth. By the way, Raheem is going to be on Andy and Randy tomorrow. Okay, so we'll hear from head coach tomorrow as well with Andy and Randy up there. Yeah, Mike, this is one of those big mysteries that is only going to be answered when the season gets around and starts. And here's the thing. If we get to week 8 or 9, Mike, and there's been lack of production, this is what it is. If we get to week 8 or 9 and Kyle Pitts is one of the bigger conversations around the NFL and what him and Michael Penix have been able to do,
right,
then all of a sudden maybe we are talking about having a decision to make moving forward. I hope it's the latter. I hope we do get to next offseason and we've done all these things and we're having a conversation about Kyle Pitts and what do we want to pay him and should we. But if there's no production, and I'm not talking about 600 yards, okay? Because that to me is not the marker. We're talking about, again, 800 to 1,000 yards, Mike, and you said it, 8 to 10 touchdowns. That's right. To me, should be the mark.
I mean, look, he had the two games he popped, the Tampa Bay game on the road we talked about, and the big catch in traffic, great throw, great catch against the Commanders. But look at the last, like, 7 games of the year. 9 yards, 0 yards, 14, 28, 7, 44 against the Commanders, 15 against Carolina. I mean, the Giants game where he's basically playing patty cake with the football. I mean, you at some point, if he and you say, these guys hear the conversation, I hope Pitts does, you know, look at the man in the mirror and bring it. Because if not for a future with the Falcons, it's your future in the NFL.
Coming up, Adam Schefter stopped by. Hear what he had to say about our Falcons. And we'll hear from Bijan and Chris Lindstrom next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we get ready for training camp to get underway, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We had our buddy Adam Schefter on to start the show today. And he came on. We asked him about all the storylines around the NFL, but we wanted to know about his thoughts on the Falcons. And, Mike, he agrees with a lot of people that Michael Penix can be a difference maker. Here's what he said when we asked him about Michael Penix.
Well, I think he's got a chance to be a great quarterback. You know, if you watched him last year, you could not be encouraged by what he showed. Big-time talent. You know, you got to see more of it this year. But that was such a great quarterback class, and we'll see more of that quarterback class with J.J. McCarthy. But I think if you watched him, like the vibes on him, the talk on him, people have been around. I think everybody's really excited about it. You could see why Atlanta drafted him. And now you have to go out and, you know, get it done on the field. But I think people are pretty excited about him.
They are. We are. And, Mike, that's from a national perspective. Again, he's talking to all these different folks about, hey, what do you think about this guy or that guy? And I think that's probably sums up where people are at with Michael Penix. Now, look, if he comes out on fire, Mike, and, you know, he's got 7 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks or, you know, and no picks or something of that nature – this is only going to build, and it's going to, you know, get bigger and bigger.
Right. I mean, some guys, it's funny. We saw on the text line yesterday, we were talking about the schedule, and the guy's going, oh, hell, Dukes and Bell, we're going 3-1 those first. Okay. Okay. But Tampa Bay at Minnesota, because he says, J.J. McCarthy ain't going to be jack. All right. Well, that's okay, my man. I believe his name is Lester. Carolina did beat us at the end of the season, but, you know, we could probably bring the heat with our pass rush and make Bryce Young's day a little miserable up there.
A little bit.
In Charlotte, that's the third week of the season. And then we all know what they're like. The good news, bad news is we lost to the Commanders, but we hung with the Commanders. We were in a position to beat the Commanders in their house. You know, but they've added some pieces since last, as we have.
No doubt. Schefter also talking about, and if you want to go hit the full interview, it's online, odyssey.com. Subscribe to Dukes and Bell. Don't miss out on any of our interviews and great stuff, guys, that we do on the show. You can go check it out. But he also talked about the Bucs, and Mike mentioned it. Does he have us winning this division? Can we take the Bucs?
The Falcons?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be challenging for the NFC South title right now. Mm. And so to me, there's no reason they couldn't get that done. But, you know, the Bucs have won, what, 4 straight NFC South titles.
Right.
And so, I think you have to make them the favorite, but there's no reason the Falcons shouldn't be competing. The Falcons should have won the division last year and didn't do it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. So they're going to feel like they're better with the pass rushers they drafted. And if that's the case, then they'll give Tampa a run for their money.
And that's what I was saying. I mean, because Vegas has us at 7.5. 7.5 wins means we're not winning anything.
No.
That means we're not in the wild card. We're certainly not winning the division, barring a tremendous set of injuries to the entire division. So that's why I just figured, as you said, get the national perspective from Shefty. And he says, yeah. And so that means that he believes in what we've got, what we've added. And it will be interesting to see just, you know, how dynamic Penix is. Because think back to, Carl, those last few years, watching him at Washington. I mean, the vertical passing game. I mean, the real. You know what do fans always say in the stands? Why don't we throw the bomb? Well, I mean, he's got the capacity to do that and everything else. His touch. He drops dimes.
He drops dimes. That's the thing, man. And I think that's probably going to be the most exciting part for a lot of fans to see since, I believe, again, Matt Ryan. We didn't push the ball down the field like that with Kirk Cousins. One, earlier in the season, they just didn't. But when you think about how we scored last year, it was methodical, right? It was literally, you know, hits and misses here and there, and we'd get to a point where we were in scoring position and we'd score. We weren't challenging teams like that, even though Kirk made some great throws. With that said, let's hear from Chris Lindstrom, Mike, because he was talking about, and I thought this was great, what is his confidence level with Michael Penix? Because he said after the first game, I think people kind of knew in the locker room.
I think after the first game, playing together, that you go in there and, you know, practice is one thing, but when you go out there and you have real reps, it's another thing. And so we were able to do that. He just poured confidence into us and his operation and belief. And then we get here this spring, and it's like we didn't even skip a beat from the end of last season. So I think that's the biggest thing. And it's only going to increase with reps. I think everything in the NFL is the more repetitions you can do together, the better it's going to be.
That's good to hear. I mean, Lindstrom, again, one of the best guards in the league, saying he came in, he poured confidence into us because, again, you go from Cousins, all right, well,
right.
We hadn't played with you, we think you're pretty good, and then you get in the game, and he's like, okay, he's making the throws, he's getting the ball out, great. And then whatever they built in those 3 games, he's saying transferred over into the spring when these guys got back together. That is good to hear, guys. There is no – Mike, there's no learning curve here, right? We're going to pick up right where we were.
Right. I paused. I gave Carter a look. That's, as fans, that's what we're hoping.
That's what we're hoping.
But, I mean, you looked at that. We just mentioned those first four games. You know, we used to be able to divide season into quarters. Now we have an extra week. But, you know, Tampa Bay's, that's a defense. I mean, the good news is everybody's a little sloppy in week one. Be less sloppy than the Bucs, you know? And there's always those mistakes. We've seen it. Minnesota, I mean, yeah, they've got one of the great wide receivers in the league. They got tremendous offensive weapons and aggressive. That's the thing. What does Brian Flores throw at Michael Penix? Does Michael Penix maybe throw a pick in the Minnesota game? Fine. It's going to happen. Throw three touchdowns in that game, right? But that's one of the realities. And then we mentioned, you know, Dan Quinn in Washington. That he showed he could hang with those guys. So, you know, the Buffalo game, San Francisco, Miami, that's why the first 8 weeks, there's some real doozies, you know, for the Falcons. You know, just as right now, perception changes. Some teams won't be as good as we think and vice versa.
What about getting to the playoffs? Chris Lindstrom was asked this question today. Again, camp starts tomorrow. Guys reported today. It's Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's his response about being focused and trying to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think one of the things I've learned is just that it's the process that you have to, and you can't skip steps. And at least in my time here, we haven't achieved our goal of making the playoffs. So, you know, to be honest, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that, you know, feels like to be there. But what I do know is that we have the right processes. We have buy-in from guys, and we know what things are important. And we have belief in the staff and belief in one another. And I think that's the foundation that we'll build upon.
He hasn't experienced it yet. There's a lot of guys on this team that haven't experienced it yet. And if that doesn't make you hungry enough to go out and do whatever it takes to try to get there, then I don't know what does. And you know, again, we are going to harp on this because it needs to be harped on. 8 years is a long time. It's medical school.
Right.
It's a long time when you start talking about, okay, yeah, I haven't done this in 8 years. That's what's looming in front of us.
I mean, Jake Matthews is the only guy I could see on this roster that played in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
You know, and so, look, we know how the trajectory for this franchise, for the city, changes if we get it done in Super Bowl 51. But this has now since been, the high water mark would have been beating the Rams and sticking it to the Eagles the second year. We really could have gone back to, I mean, now it's hard for some to imagine outside Atlanta. That defense was so good in 17. It really came together. Shut down the Rams. We held those two guys less than like 20 points in those two games. It's pretty amazing.
Mike, look, and the weirdness of the 17 season that you're talking about, yeah, it felt weird because everybody was still talking about the Super Bowl loss. Give Dan Quinn credit, and I didn't like the phrase, that embrace the suck thing that, right. You know, basically, hey, we didn't get it done, but we're going to come back. But Mike's right. Like, the talent was there to get back, and then you get to the playoffs, and we were like, okay, anything can happen. It didn't. 404-726-0929. I'm going to let you hear Bijan here in just a minute. What were you going
to
say, bro?
No, I just went back and looked at it. We held the Rams to 13 points, and we lost 15-10 to the Eagles in that final throw to Julio. Yeah, I mean, it was a real game, and that team went on, obviously, to go win the Super Bowl. So, frustrating. But, no, I love Chris Lindstrom, and we heard this from A.J. Terrell at minicamp back in a few months back. This is definitely a thing because, again, as you said, they were in the driver's seat. It was a cakewalk. Nobody blows a 6-3 lead this division.
Well.
Then the Cousins happened.
Yeah, until they do. Hey, man, Bijan, what about this being a playoff team? Bijan, are we a playoff team?
Like I say, like, I try not to look, you know, that far down the line. But obviously, like, that's the goal for this team. You know, I know everybody says, like, win the division, which is, these are obvious goals that we want to do. But for us, like, it's more so if we just handle every single game the same and prepare the same for every single game at a high level, then we're going to reach all of our goals and we're going to get to everywhere we want to get to. And, you know, obviously everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. Like, that's everybody's saying that they're good now. Like, everybody's like, we have the best team now. But for us, it's like, you know, we got to put it to action. Like, we got to actually do it. You know, all the talk is, like, no more talk. Like, talk doesn't help anything. So, for us, like, if we just actually just put our heads down and just work hard, we have the pieces, you know, that we need for a great, successful team. But now it's time to come together and so we can do it that far down the line.
Look, he's a leader, and that dude is everything they thought he'd be when they drafted him. Should have had 1,000 yards that first season. Again, and I'll always have a special place in my heart finally won the Shenanigans League, Carl, after 11 years. But anyway, yeah, he's a dude that can do it all. I'm curious to see, you know, what is the role for Algier, because you don't want to run him into the ground either. I thought last year they found the kind of the perfect balance. And if anything, there were even some times in short yardage where maybe Algier should have gotten more carries.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like, you know, it's a rhythm thing, right? And if Bijan is rolling and he's got a good rhythm going, sometimes you don't want to take him out. But I'm with you. He's not going to touch it every time. And we do have a very capable back in Tyler Algier, who hasn't said anything, by the way. Just has been the best teammate you could ever be when it comes to this whole situation. And I think they're boys, as they've told us before. Hey, man, we got more to get to, including hearing from Brent Key, the head coach of Georgia Tech, and Haynes King stopping by the show as well. Georgia Tech's ACC Media Days today. And, Mike, real quick, we also got to hit on this, what the Florida State quarterback is talking about down there, because he didn't come off of it.
Do we have to talk about
it? We have to talk about this.
And the coach, the things he was saying today.
What, you didn't like it?
Remember Jeff Collins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Playing off of that sheet music.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
We got to talk about it.
I'm going to irk some Seminole fans, but I'm going to tell you how I feel about it.
Well, because the quarterback said some things, if you didn't hear it this offseason, about Alabama, and then they asked him about it today at ACC Media Days, he was like, and what?
I ain't backing down for nothing.
Okay, we'll tell you about it. Stay there. Mike, what are your expectations for Georgia Tech, as it was ACC Media Days for them today, and their quarterback, the head coach, spoke? What's your expectations for them?
Man, you know, 7 wins last year. You know, the 8 overtimes we talked about with Coach Brent Key. Again, all the interviews, us and Haynes King and Coach Brent Key online. Georgia fans, why are you talking to Tech? You guys, I mean, last week, Day-Day, when we were at the SEC Media Days, Andy Randy got Georgia, right? They talked to Gunnar Stockton. They got to talk to Coach. We, in this case, got to talk to Georgia Tech's quarterback and coach, because it was ACC Media Days. But anyway, those interviews are up there. I'm going to say, you know, I really want to say 10 wins.
Okay.
But that schedule is tough as well. That Clemson game is so big, you know, relatively early in the season. But Haynes, man, here's a word we'll use, moxie. I like the edge with Haynes King. You know what? Let's say this is the breakout year.
Let's break out year.
How about this? 10 wins. How about
that? It's the breakout year.
Let's have some glass half full for Tech.
I feel that way. And you're right about the schedule. I mean, listen, you can't run from that. And not that they are, but I also think, like, when you look at the opening game, here's what's going to happen. Because I'm telling you, they're going to go out to Colorado. They're going to beat Colorado. That's my opinion, okay? I think they're going to beat them. And then, Mike, people are going to say, well, wow, that was unexpected. And then a few weeks later, you get Clemson. And let's just say that they lose to Clemson. Guys, Clemson may be the third best team in the country that people aren't talking about, and maybe they are. Certainly the 6th best team in the country, if you really want to put it in perspective. Point is, you lose that game and people will lose confidence. But it doesn't mean that they can't go on to have that 10-win season that you're talking about.
Right, and the strength of schedule, we get back in. Remember, guys, it's still a 12-team playoff, so you'd have to win 10 games to make the playoff.
Yes.
You know, a 3-loss Georgia Tech that doesn't really have the juice nationally, unless they beat a Clemson.
Unless you beat them.
And you beat Georgia. But the other game, and I said to Carl, it wasn't really a thing until, like, Fran Brown learned from Kirby, as did Brent Key learn working with Kirby and Nick Saban back in the day on staff at Alabama. But you remember, they were talking about the physicality and the kind of football they played, and Fran basically took that and used it against, you hear that? Georgia Tech says they're more physical than us. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Nobody at Tech said that, Coach. But Fran Brown made that the rallying cry. And I said to Carl earlier, another huge game, weekend before Halloween, Syracuse, October 25th at Bobby Dodd.
It is.
Because those guys, they got a great quarterback. They got a solid squad, right? I think same quarterback, new quarterback.
New quarterback. Yeah, quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, that might be the saving grace.
Let's hear from Haynes King, Georgia Tech's quarterback. As Mike mentioned, we spoke to him. The full interview's online. Go check it out, odyssey.com. About having a balanced offense, because this is the thing. Like, they have all of this offensive production coming back. When you start talking about 80-some-odd percent of your run game is back, your passing game and the guys that you threw are back, it gives you an advantage. Here's Haynes King.
I think everything's balanced as ever. Not even just the running backs and receivers, like the tight ends that we added. They're going to help us out in the run game and the pass game with who they are. And a lot of them is going to be veteran guys that's been here or even been in college football. So, you know, with adding that, they're going to know where to be at the right place and at the right time.
5-0 at home last year. We mentioned this. The fan base was great. I thought, you know, the Flats were re-energized. The student section did a great job. But, again, you've got to take a jump. And so the accomplishments that Brent Key has been able to have is great. But let's be honest, this is still college football, and you got to score points. Now, the defense has improved, but, Mike, if we didn't mention it already, Buster Faulkner receives an extension from Georgia Tech, and a lot of people were excited about it, including Haynes King, who said that's a big deal for us as a program. But this is Haynes King, the Georgia Tech quarterback, talking about where the offense is right now.
I think we're going to be even more explosive than last year, just with who we added and what we have returning. The guys coming back and the camaraderie that we have and the confidence level that Buster has and us executing it. So, like I said, I feel like we're going to be even more explosive than we already are.
If that's the case, they're going to be a problem.
Got a great running back, you know, skill positions. They were looking for some more pass rush. They think they've got it in the transfer portal. Offensive line, it's funny. I asked Brent, I go, physical running game? He goes, shoot. Does a bear poop in the woods?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a calling card. I mean, that's, you know, teams have, you know, the phrase playing personality. You know, that's kind of where they want to be. You know, and so that's, and like I said, I know that for Georgia, it's, why are you talking Tech? Again, it was ACC media days, but it seems like a team that.
Well, listen, Mike, if they start winning, we're going to talk more about it. We've been saying this.
And that's why, you know, remember when Jeff Collins had an introductory press conference, we were like, wow, what a 180 from Paul Johnson. And then he spent the next 4 years crapping on Paul Johnson and blaming him for his failings because he was just all hot air. And Brent is just real. You know, Brent's real.
He is real. What about all the seniors coming back? This is Brent Key. Earlier today on the show, because this has a team, he's got 27 seniors on this team. Here's Brent Key.
Yeah, you know, for the first time, the senior class will be the leadership committee, will be the leadership group. And, you know, it's very rare you have, you know, 27 seniors, especially now, this day and age. And not all of them are starters. They're not. And, you know, but it allows those guys to have a voice in leadership and be able to back the guys that are the vocal ones in front of everybody. And, you know, you say experience matters. I mean, my goodness, you know, some of the when you go through the retention phase, you know, of the year, some of the most valuable guys we were able to retain are the guys, you know, that third, you know, that O lineman's third year in the program, or the linebacker that's in his third or fourth year in the program. And, you know, the DB, they might not be a starter, but they know how you do things. They know, you know, how you go about your business. I mean, they worked and trained. And those are just the most valuable pieces that people don't even know their names. They're the guys that give you that stability, though.
Interesting stuff. A lot of leadership on that team. That's another reason why I'm buying in. He doesn't have a young team. Mike is trying to figure it out. They all know what the expectation is. Now they've been through his program for the last few years, even the guys that have transferred in. I just think that there's a different expectation. One other thing I want to play for you, and this is the big thing, because Mike asked a question about, okay, pretty good last year. What do you need to do? And Brent Key was adamant. We need to take
a lot of steps. You know, I think it's more of a jump we need to take, right?
Right.
You know, it's one of the things that, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen, you know, results of games, all that kind of stuff. I do feel like this is the best squad we've had, the most depth we've had. You know, love the way the team's come together over the summer. The new faces that have added in and really bought into what we do and how we do it. So I'm excited.
And we are too. Could be a really interesting year for Georgia.
Right. And as we said, I asked Haynes about knowing when to hold him, knowing when to fold him, and he talked about, yes, he's not that he's going to make business decisions, but he is a dual threat guy, and he moves the chains. But, you know, he's got to live to play another day and keep this. Because, again, if you, with all due respect to everybody else, no Haynes King, forget
him. No, you're right, Mike. He's a difference maker. 404-726-0929. One other thing we want to talk about in college football, and tomorrow again up at Flowery Branch and then over to Hooters for the show. What do you make about FSU's quarterback talking his talk about Alabama? And explain the background of this.
All right, so he did a podcast or an interview earlier, about a few months back, and Tommy Castellanos, who's a local kid, by the way, who was initially recruited by Gus Malzahn, wound up at BC, and unfortunately lost his starting job. He's a dual-threat guy. He went out to say that when they take on Alabama, they won't have Nick Saban to save them. And that kind of drew a lot of attention. You know, he says that, you know, he goes, I did say, you know, he backed it up when he was talking today at Media Day that he's trying to give his team a spark.
Right.
And trying to create some swagger. He said, look, people don't know if they don't know, but you go back and watch the first game I played in, we always start fast. I dreamed of moments like this. I dreamed of playing against Alabama. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me. And that was the quote which had a lot of eyebrows raised.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, young man who lost his starting job at Boston College. You know, but Gus Malzahn hopefully will maximize the talent. Just the transient nature of the portal with Florida State, I have no idea what this team is going to be. I'm glad he's got confidence. You know, they're apparently doing better on the recruiting trail than I've reported for next season.
Okay.
But I still think this is a huge – Alabama could beat them by 3 touchdowns.
And if that happens, let me ask you, I mean, how soon is Norvell on the hot seat? Well, is he going to be?
Well, Norvell, and this is where, you know, you and I always say, stay true to your character. You know, if you're going to come in, if you're not a tough guy, you can't be a tough guy. The famous soundbite from Mike Smith from Hard Knocks, Carl, 2014. You know what they're saying about us around the league? The Falcons are soft. The Falcons are tough. And he pauses. Bull spit. I'm paraphrasing.
The Falcons were soft. The Falcons aren't tough. Bull.
I love Schmitty. I wish that guy, I wish, of all the guys we've met in football, it's one of those dudes I wish won it all. But anyway, but you can't just go, okay, man. We're going to be tough now. No, you just don't turn into like the 77 Raiders. Okay, it doesn't happen like that. So today, and real quick, Day-Day, jump on the mic. I was telling Day-Day, he's doing these sound bites, and he's literally coming in kind of like, you know, the way Les Miles would do it. Very confident about my football team, and just like trying to convince himself and everybody else that you won 2 games last year. Your entire team quit on you. Your mercenaries just were absolutely worthless. Am I reading this wrong, Day-Day?
No, I said the same thing. I felt like it was very inspirational, motivational speech type of talk.
Okay.
But it also, like, the way his voice wavered, it was almost like, I'm not sure who I'm motivating.
Like you're trying to convince yourself. You know, look, God, like I never thought, I said to Day-Day, never thought in my life as an FSU fan, I'd be praying that Gus Malzahn can save the program. But that's kind of where they're at. He's the OC for those who don't follow.
Is this quarterback going to be any good?
He showed some great
signs. I mean, the way
science.
He's talking, you, he better show up week one.
Did you ever see him play in high school, Castellanos? Because he was.
I didn't see him.
I was going to say, because he was a local young man. Let's see here. He grew up in Miami, but I want to say he grew up in Waycross. When I say local, not local. He's all the way down south.
Gotcha.
But he's a Waycross kid. But he was a starter. He was at UCF, then he was at BC, so he's bounced around. That's another thing.
Well, so
it can't be any worse than DJ Ukulele.
No. But Gus knows this kid. He probably recruited him there, and he came. Okay.
That's all right.
We'll see. Lots of conversation. Again, coming out of ACC Media Days, Big Ten is having theirs as well. Nothing really there going on. Ryan Day kind of stole the show yesterday, but we were talking about Tony Petitti and the commish of the Big Ten and what he had to say, because all the conversation is basically, you know, are him and Greg Sankey going to be on the same page about college football playoff expansion?
Not anytime soon.
And right now they're just not. But interesting to see what's coming out of the ACC. Here's the bigger thing, though. Rhett Lashley ticked off a lot of people yesterday, and you brought this up, Mike, with SMU before we get out of here. Mm. And now people are like, okay, SMU, show up in a playoff game because you got humiliated last year, and all this conversation about how the ACC is better and can be better, until you start winning playoff games, it just doesn't matter.
Look, we know that they've got a good quarterback. They've got, you know, that's, you got to have that to win. We get all that. And they did go and win 11 games last year. But, like, that ACC championship was there for the taking.
It was.
You know, that was a Clemson team that got spanked and lost, of course, you know, to their arch rival South Carolina that year. And then, you know, credit to Dabo and those guys not having any quit. But they lost that game 34-31, and it was, you know, Clemson basically blew them out of the building in the first quarter, you know, and so then they came back, but it was too little too late. So I'm not sure they got the horses defensively, because I think if Klubnik has got it together, that Clemson defense is going to be something.
They're going to be good.
And I think that a lot of people are sleeping on Clemson because Dabo kind of became, you know, the butt of jokes because it was, you know, his just denying the transfer portal was a fit for Clemson, but now he's using it.
He is using it. Hey, man, we got to get out of the way. Turtle's coming up. He's got the night show starting at 6 tomorrow. Reminder, we are at Hooters Mall of Georgia, and we'll be up there doing the show after training camp, and Michael Penix Jr. is going to join us tomorrow here on the show as well. Make sure you tune in at 2. Let's get out of here, O, and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to Brent Key and Haynes King for jumping on the show. Buddy Adam Schefter coming on today. Grant joined us as well. Braves lost today, if you were wondering. Yeah, Spencer Strider saying a few things that, well, had our ears perked a little bit. But either way, they're still not putting it all together, and they lose another series to the Giants. Mm. Off day tomorrow, then they get the Rangers on Friday. All right, Mike, tomorrow, first day of camp, excited. We'll tell you all the things that have happened and all the things that are going on, and we'll be grabbing guests as well. Make sure you tune in right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, I saw this today on Twitter. Credit to Brady Penn, who put the stats together. Luke Williams, utility infielder for the Braves, has a lower ERA than Raisel Iglesias and Bryce Elder in his four outings.
Really?
When he's been used to mop up. Remember they threw him in there at the end of the Phillies game? So a guy who's basically up there, that, well, hell, coach, I pitched in Little League. So just kind of give you an idea of where this team is right now.
CeeDee Lamb today quoted about Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones going back and forth. He said, quote, playing this media game with Jerry is not the best. It's not fun. It's not recommended. Micah knows what he brings to the table. And he should just get what he deserves. But I'm not indulging in any of this craziness that they have going on. This is CeeDee Lamb. He says, but I do want Micah to get paid soon. So CeeDee Lamb's like, my name's Bennett, and I ain't in it. And I don't blame him. But to see your teammate have to go through this when you know he's deserving is just a little bit frustrating. Joe Burrow said the same thing today about the Brown situation with Trey Hendrickson,
right,
saying, come on, let's get this stuff done.
And players don't want to talk about other players' money in that situation either.
Hey, man, we're back tomorrow for training camp.
Hooters,
Bingo,
Buford.
Great job, Day-Day, great job. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't,
come on, ride shotgun with me on Juniper. Three lanes down to two.
You more shredded than a Julian salad, man.